The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Once again, I'm going to ask you to sit down. This is a long gospel. And I always worry if it's a long gospel, people will be worried more about how much longer I'm going to read, and so when they can sit down than to listen to the words. So I want you to listen to the words. And this comes from Luke. And remember, I said Luke is always the gospel writer who, when he talks about Jesus, always portrays him as one of power and might, truly God incarnate. And you see that in the story because he has power even over demons. And here's the story. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. Now, for a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. That meant he slept in a cemetery. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Now, for many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now, there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. And then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it to the city and in the country. And then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. And then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this day. You have filled it once again with your presence and your power. Bless us as we gather in his name. Amen. You know, I have to say before I start my message, I just want to thank Paula for that beautiful piece that she shared with us. I was just thinking how ironic it was. Last Sunday we had no organist. Today we had two. Anyways, I want to tell you a story because I remember growing up as a little boy in my family up in Cleveland that I had a very, very special relationship with my brother Bob, Robert. In fact, that relationship is still pretty solid. He still sees himself as the big brother taking care of his little brother. When I was in the hospital recently with the blood clots, I just called him to tell him I wasn't coming up to Cleveland for him to take me to the airport. And he got in his car and drove all the way down to Worcester to sit in the emergency room with me. That's still my brother. He's still trying to protect me from all the ghoulies and ghosties and three-legged beasties that are out there. By the way, that's an actual prayer. I don't know if you know from the Anglican Book of Common Prayer. It's one of my favorite prayers. It says simply, from ghoulies and ghosties and three-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night, dear Lord, protect us. But anyways, my brother has always tried to protect me from those ghoulies and ghosties. My brother actually is 8 years older than I am. And yet growing up as brothers, you would never really have known there was that kind of an age difference because everywhere my brother went, he took his little brother with him. I mean, if my brother went out to play ball with his friends, he would always take me along with him. And he would always see to it that I got to play. I mean, sure, I might end up playing right field, and I might also end up batting last, but I always got to play with the big boys. He saw to it. If my brother went to the movies with his friends, I was always with him. He would always see to it that I got to the movies. He would always see to it that I got a box of popcorn, And he would always keep an eye on me to make sure that I didn't get into too much trouble, which I did frequently. One of my brother's favorite stories is the one where he sent me with some money to go get some popcorn or something out in the concession stand, and he was sitting in the movie. And after about 20 minutes, he figured something was up, and he walked out into where the concession stand was, and he says, and there was my little brother, Alan, surrounded by kids who were 5 years older than him, with his fists up saying, okay, one at a time or all at once. So my brother spent a good deal of time pulling me out of trouble. But one of my favorite stories about my brother, which I think says all you need to know about our relationship, was when he was 19 and I was 11 years old. And he was dating this really nice girl, which we all thought he would end up marrying, which he didn't. But her name was Carol Parabek. If any of you know Cleveland or were up in Cleveland at any time, Parabek Funeral Home on the west side was a big funeral home. And this was the daughter of the Parabeks who owned that. Well, he was dating this young girl. And every time I still drove by on Ridge Road and saw the name, I always think of this story. He was dating this girl. And one day, he asked Carol to go on a date with him to see the Ice Capades. Now, years ago, some of us older folks can remember what a big deal the Ice Capades were. I mean, when the Ice Capades came to town, whoa, I mean, to get tickets to go to that was prime, right? To see all the wonderful shows. Well, he asked out Carol to go up with him on to the Ice Capades. Anyways, my brother arrived home after having gone downtown to pick up the tickets, and he told Mom about his upcoming date and where he was taking Carol, and then he turned and showed me that he had 3 tickets. That's right, he was taking his little brother on a date with him. Now, show me how many guys out there would take their little brother with them on a date with a girl. Yeah, see, not too many of you guys out there, right? He did. And I will never forgotten that particular day, and that said all you need to know about the relationship Bob and I have. The reason that I'm telling you all these stories is because I think that's what's going on here in this gospel lesson. I mean, the story talks about a time when Jesus and his disciples went to a place called the country of the Gerasenes. Now, as he entered this town, the story in the gospel tells us that he came across a man who was demon-possessed. Today we might have said he was insane or crazy. In those days, demon-possessed. In an instant, Jesus cast these demons out of the man, and they go into the herd of swine. Where else would a Jew cast demons but into pigs, right? And they quickly dove into the sea, and they immediately were drowned. Now, at this point in the story, as we're looking at that story, it'd be so easy for me to go around and simply to talk about the majesty and the power of Jesus. I mean, here's a guy who has authority and power over demons. I mean, we could talk about how this does demonstrate not just the power of Jesus, but that he truly is the one. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. But that's not what I find interesting in this story. And that is not the reason that I told you about my brother, who always included me with everything he did. Now, what makes this story so interesting to me is that the country of the Gerasenes was not part of Israel. The people who lived in this place, as the gospel describes it, opposite Galilee, were not Jews. They were not the people of God. They were not in any way, shape, or form to be confused with the people of God, the Israelites. So what's the point? The point I think that Jesus is making here is that he didn't just come for the people of Israel. He wasn't just the Jewish Messiah. He wasn't just the Messiah for the people of Israel. He was the Messiah of all people, even the Gerasenes. He came for all people, and he came to free all people from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Now, on one level, this should make most of you out there very, very happy. Because I don't think there is a person sitting here in this congregation who can say that you are one of the people of Israel. Do we have any Jews out there? Not one, huh? I mean, we have some Germans out there. We have some Italians, I'm guessing. Maybe a few Poles or Hungarians, maybe some French or English. But I don't see any Jews out there. So if Jesus came only for the Jews, you people are in a lot of trouble. But the point of the story is that Jesus didn't just come for the Jews. He came for the Gerasenes also. He came for the Germans. He came for the Poles. He came for the Italians. He came for the Hungarians. He came for everyone. He died for everyone. And he rose on Easter morning for everyone. And he has forgiven the sins, therefore, of everyone. And because of that, he invites everyone, not just the Jews, into the joys of God's kingdom. To Jesus, we're all the same, all his children, all are loved, all are forgiven. So, what's the moral of the story? First of all, we should give thanks to God that he has made us part of his family, regardless of whether we are Jews or Gentiles, Germans or Italian, Poles or Hungarians. God has made each and every one of us a part of his family. Now, you know, one of the questions, therefore, sometimes I get asked a lot, in fact, it happened just at one of our recent Bible studies, was only Christians are going to be in heaven. My response is, I don't know, it's his party. And God will invite whoever he chooses to his party. I should just be thankful that I have one of the invitations. I think God loves all people, regardless of their nationality, regardless of what name they call God. The other thing that comes with that is the recognition that we are, because we are all children of God, we are together, therefore, with every other human being on this planet, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. So when you look at other people, see your brother and sister. When you see somebody who lives in a different place than you do, see your brother or see your sister. When you look at somebody who looks different than you do, maybe their skin is a different color, or they wear a different kind of clothes than you do, you should see a brother. You should see a sister. When you even see somebody who calls our God by a different name, you should still see a brother and see a sister in Christ. Remember, when Jesus looked at the Gerasenes, he didn't see a foreigner. He only saw the children of God. And just think if we could all do that in this world today. What a difference that would make in this world of ours, in our country, in our communities. Maybe we actually could have that peace on earth that the angels talked about outside of Bethlehem. Peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. But maybe we could start that now in a little way, huh? Maybe right now in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. Maybe we could see one another as children of God. Maybe we could, in a little way, maybe, create a little bit of heaven right here and right now. Amen.